To another episode of the Career Talks Real Talk. I'm your host, Orlando Haynes, and here with my phenomenal podcast bestie, Miss Tiffany Human. How are you, Tiffany?
I am great. I'm actually just going to plug this in. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Yep.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm really excited for today's episode.
Super excited. Yeah. So I think you hear a lot about it, but I think we can bring a different perspective and the importance of it, because it's still, I think it's still missing in the job market for some job seekers there, right? but it's definitely something that it's almost like going back to one-on-one because it's definitely needed, because there's a heightened need for it, especially with the saturation of the market. So it's super excited to dive in. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we hear a lot around soft skills. But I agree with you, Orlando. Now more than ever, they're just so critical, right? I mean, those are the things that really set someone apart, whether in their job search, in their workplace, really every phase of your career growth. Hard and technical skills, of course, are very essential, especially depending on the type of role that you have or function that you're taking on. But the soft skills is the magic. I mean, I'm dead set convinced of that. I'm proof of it. And I've seen just such turnarounds for my clients where they've also really leaned into their soft skill mastery and leveraging these types of skills very intentionally in their workplace. So I believe in it wholeheartedly, Orlando. So I'm really looking forward to diving into it more today.
Awesome. Awesome. And by no happenstance, we just happen to match. We got it's white t-shirt or white
blazer. We did not coordinate.
No coordination.
No, but it's okay. Yeah, we're telepathic today. You know, we just felt it.
Exactly.
It's a white kind of day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we talk about soft skills, obviously the biggest thing you can talk about is communication. But for me, is the emotional intelligence.
Oh yeah.
I put that in that category because when it comes to the workplace, there's ups and downs and conversations that happen, right? So you have to have the wherewithal to control that and still be able to turn around and perform. And so sometimes that can be rough, especially if you have something going on personally in your life, and then that seems to affect your work and then goes into the workplace. And now you may feel it's coming from both sides and you're like, oh my God, I can't take it. But it's having the emotional intelligence to say, okay, let me hold back. Let me just listen or not react to anything negative. But let me really soak this in and kind of digest what's being said. And, you know, do a self-reflection and see how you can improve or get better. But it's still showing that emotional maturity and intelligence not to react if something is said in a negative impact will ruffle your feathers. Because I think for people, we tend to get ruffled pretty fast. It's super easy. The world is so sensitive. So we have to be mindful of that, especially in the workplace, because that can hinder growth for opportunities. And then now you're saying, you know, I'm being overlooked for this, so I'm not getting opportunities for that. Well, you can be a great executor, but if the emotional intelligence side, when you're given constructive feedback, areas and to improve and react and show that disappointment or, kind of say something back that is disruptive in that meeting, you know, managers are going to think like, well, we'll have to kick that can about promotion down the line or until we can fix this one spot. So that's what first pops up for me is the emotional intelligence side.
It's huge, Orlando. And if I can build on that, I would say empathy in this is integral. Empathy is probably one of the most, if not the most essential skills in the workplace. I put it very closely with communication. For me, those are my top two, empathy and communication. We'll talk about them separately, but empathy is so closely tied, obviously, within emotional intelligence. And when it comes to workplace challenges, difficulty, conflict, right? What's most important in leveraging empathy, although it might sound counterintuitive, is actually taking the time to understand with other people, right? The moment we apply intention to someone or associate an assumption to why they're behaving the way they're behaving, that's where things go haywire, like real quick. Really taking the time to understand where that frustration is coming from. Where is that pushback coming from? Is there something you might not be seeing that they're seeing? Like you said, Orlando, maybe they're having an off day. Maybe it's just a really bad moment. Maybe there's things that are happening professionally or personally for this other person. And again, that's not necessarily for us to pry into, but to take the time to really understand and show, look, we're working towards the same thing here. You know, let me help you. And coming from a place where the benefit for the other party, what's in it for them, comes through loud and clear, right? Because when they can see you as an ally, even if there's a conflict, even if there's a challenge, even if there's something you don't agree on, but they can still see you as an ally who's trying to come to like a common ground solution, empathy is going to be the fuel that bridges that gap. I cannot tell you how many times I've leveraged empathy. It's a critical element of my conflict management technique as well that works both professionally and personally. And it ties directly into that emotional intelligence. I remember when I was at L'Oreal, we had a whole talk around empathy and the importance of empathy. And it was kind of at a point where it was becoming a more prominent soft skill in the workplace. And a lot of us didn't really know, you know, how to tactically integrate that. They had showed us this video from Brené Brown that like has just marked me since that day. And I still think about it to this day. And this was like years and years ago, but it was this comparative between empathy and sympathy. And I don't know if any of our viewers or listeners know that video. If you've seen that video, if you don't, just like go on YouTube and search it, Brené Brown, empathy versus sympathy. But it's such a easy kind of beautiful illustration of the comparative between the two. And I can't tell you how helpful that's been even in the workplace and outside of the workplace. So that for me is definitely like number one, very much at the top of the list.
Yeah, I like what you said about the assumption piece in that too, right? So I think that mentally drives us to a space where we don't need to be, or it's an imaginary space because we built it in our head based off the assumption of whatever scenario you're in, rather than, you know, do some fact finding. You know, ask the questions to make sure your assumption is correct or incorrect. This way you can, you know, go a different direction and communicate better with, you know, that management piece there. But the empathy piece too, and I'm pivoting between both points, is where you hear conversations about empathy where management needs it more so, right? Because, and I think middle management, and you could agree with this, is that that's the almost the worst place to be, is because right. You have to, you know, roll up to the executives or senior directors or whatever your role is. And then you have your team of support, if you're a people leader, to, you know, to make sure they're running efficiently as well on projects and things like that. So, you know, heart goes out to the folks in that space. I've been there 15 years. So I get that space for sure. But the empathy around what management needs to have now, because of the where we're at in this economy and in the world, and there's so much, I think, awareness around mental health, you know, mental health and things like that, to where it's not the old days where you can just scream and yell at someone or you know, say something inappropriate in front of people and you're thinking it's okay because that's how the team dynamic works. Right. Those tactics don't work anymore. So you have to be more empathetic and mindful. And I had a conversation yesterday, and it was the coach approach, which is, again, more sympathetic to that and empathetic to that person, and really managing individually based on that person's personality. Now, there's a unified goal for the team and the department and things like that, but a soft skill for management and, you know, all levels, you know, if you're just a team member, as well, having those unified or one accord goals to say, okay, this is how we're going to operate as a team. Let's be empathetic. Let's be mindful. Let's be respectful. Don't overthink. Don't assume. Let's ask the questions. Let's break down whatever the issue is. Let's break down the positives to make sure we can continue to perform.
Yeah.
Right? Let's not assume it's always going to work because we knocked it out of the park this time. Let's break those down too. And make it really more inclusive. And I think that sometimes can be tough for different organizations, but it's definitely something across the board that I think the culture needs to just continuously push towards.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm going to give a really like tactical example right now, because as I said earlier, empathy and communication are so closely intertwined, and we might feel like we're being empathic, but we're actually not, because we're not communicating it properly. Right. If let's say you're facing a challenge in the workplace and you tell someone, you know, I know how hard this is for you. That's an assumption. Like you're outright saying, you know, I really believe this is hard for you. Whereas shifting that wording to say something like, I can only imagine how difficult that is. That's an empathic statement. You're not imposing it on them, but you're letting them know that you could likely feel with them of what they're going through. This is how nuanced it is. It's why I'm so big on communication as really that number one key soft skill that will skyrocket your success. And again, at any phase of your career, but especially in the workplace, you know, we hear a lot around politics and, you know, playing the game and whatnot. At the end of the day, it's communication mastery. It's relationship management. That's a big part of it. But communication, the way we say things, the way it comes off, and layering that in with an empathic lens is for me like the powerhouse duo that any successful professional really needs in their tool belt. But you can see how nuanced that type of language is, right? I was just helping a client with this the other day where we were talking about, you know, a challenge she was facing, and just this slight tweak of wording to not make it seem like an assumption of someone, but to be able to really understand with that person was just like a very important breakthrough. And the more we get into that habit and practice of using these statements, like I can certainly appreciate, I can only imagine, you know, I understand, like showing this level of same playing field is going to make the other person a lot more receptive to what you have to say, because you're coming at it not from a place of defensiveness, not from a place of protection, but as a place of like, hey, look, let's work together, right? And it's going to foster a lot more collaboration instead of confrontation. So I'm really big on that because I've had to use that time and time again myself. And it's amazing supporting professionals and seeing those breakthroughs as well.
I think why that's so important, Tiffany, is especially because of the makeup of corporate America now with, I don't know the exact percentage, but it's multi-generational, right? You have more Gen Zers and Gen Ys, what's the word I'm trying to look for? What's the
Gen Z?
Drawing a blanking. Is it Gen Z? No, the younger generation. So drawing a blank here. That's my mental lapse there. But so for like the millennials,
Millennials.
So millennials, they're more dominant in the workforce. But you still see that balance between the Gen Zers and, you know, in the millennials in the workforce. But you'll see a lot of millennials leading into leadership roles. But for the ones that are not, again, having that type of communication style and not assuming, because they're not used to that, probably, you know, especially if they're just starting out the career. So having the ability to like, okay, let me understand my demographic in the workforce. It's not me and Joe or me and Susan who's worked together for 15 years anymore. I have new grads or people right out of school and, you know, in a different space. So I can't communicate the same way I did or do with this generation. It's a whole different construct and how I need to, you know, effectively communicate, because that generation is, and again, I'm not a millennial, but, you know, it's completely different. You hear words like, you know, they're more core value driven in selecting different organizations, but at the same time, right, they haven't went through they haven't experienced the old days of corporate. Again, it was a little more rough around the edges, right? Training, development probably wasn't the big thing there. It was just driven to the bottom line, get the work done, projects done, build revenue, et cetera. So having that mindfulness of, hey, we need to, you know, look at different ways, different trainings, different, because it's a different landscape now inside the walls of corporate. So we have to be able to pivot and adjust in making sure that we're touching all parties. And I think the even what you're talking about will work with the older generation too, right? Because they probably built up this emotional callus of sometimes feeling beat up all the time. Just like, man, can we just have a conversation and not you not you pounding me if I mess up, but help me, you know, help me out here. And again, this is not an assumption for all organizations, but by no means, but I'm sure as we see the improvement of technology and things like that, it's, we can't lag on the side of communication and empathy and things like that in how we communicate to different generational team members in the workforce.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I think our listeners are probably picking up on the fact that these are things we don't typically learn in school. Like, you know, when we talk about transitioning into a workplace, you know, there should be more courses and lessons on these types of things. But I think regardless, even if there were, there's something about being in it, right? Coming firsthand in that workplace and feeling those situations firsthand that bring a level of relatability and realness that is actually really hard to capture in a college setting per se. And so I think it's more important to start elevating these types of skills even before people enter into the workforce. But there's something to be said about getting that kind of like on-site real training, like lived experience that's going to take it over the edge. But yeah, communication is a major soft skill. And I think everyone who is working, they realize very quickly, you know, poor communication leads to a lot of problems, right? It leads to frustration. It leads to conflict. It leads to miscommunications. It leads to probably a lot of well-being related types of side effects, right? If someone isn't communicating effectively their needs or their boundaries or what their limits are, then they can easily get overloaded. They can easily get overwhelmed. They can lead to burnout, right? So there's actually a lot of repercussions by not nailing these key soft skills really well that have a much bigger repercussion than we'd want them to have. So yeah, communication, so closely tied to empathy and emotional intelligence, are definitely top of the list. I would say maybe some additional ones, I'd say even more prominently now in the workforce, is like adaptability, right? I think we're seeing that across the board, being able to show that you are adaptable, that you're able to make changes. And I want to be very clear here. I don't mean about being adaptable where your role is very, very vague and you are just constantly being piled on different responsibilities to be adaptable. That's a different story. That's not necessarily the route that we want to take. But when I say adaptability around showing, you know, that you're open and willing to shift, to kind of be that stakeholder in the organization that they need, to get your hands dirty when you need to get your hands dirty, to be able to show that you can bring even broader impact and value to the organization over time through the adaptability that you demonstrate. These are really important traits of that particular soft skill that will really elevate you in your workplace well.
Yeah, with that, and sort of what popped in my head is like change management, when you say that, because right, organizational shift, we're implementing something new in the organization, which is going to cause a shift. As long as the organizations, and I see a lot of them are doing it more now for sure, is letting the folks know the why behind what's happening. And so I love those conversations when the leadership brings their team, their department together, and they're having the, you know, kind of the drill down conversation saying, hey, here's what's going on, is why we're doing it. Here's the impact we perceive it may have, but here's how we need your support because you're a crucial part of this change in what's going to happen. So when that message comes out, you know, there's conversations that were had behind the scenes with probably different department heads, leaders. And so when you bring the entire team together, it's not so much a surprise that it's happening. It's just them getting the understanding to say, okay, great. We're seeing the bigger picture here from, you know, the senior leadership team, the executive team, C-level folks that are clearly communicating why this change needs to happen and why we need you to embrace it, right? Because it's a good change. And they're honest, and I love that, right? They're saying, hey, it's going to be bumpy. It may be funky a little bit. There may be some pieces that we may be floating in ambiguity for a few months, but understand, I know that as the leader. And so my expectations of you is that ask those questions. Feel free to raise your hand, you know, pull the stop button and say, hey, I'm not clear, so we can not have anyone go off rail. But clearly communicate, because I know this is going to happen. We all are going to feel the same impact, but just at different levels. So if we can get around this as a team, if we get your support, and we consistently communicate throughout the process, change, you know, hopefully will be better as a team. And I think when they say that too, this is my take on it personally, is that they're understanding that there are folks right on their team just do not like change because they things were going great. And now they're like, oh, why are we doing this? And it may cause us to take on more responsibilities, right? But again, clearly communicating that because the company's going lean or something, right? So again, with that organizational shift, so they want to be mindful of that and just really make sure, hey, make sure you're touching your team, make sure they're okay. And again, continuously communicate the why behind it and know that we understand it may be rough, but there's, you know, the change is going to be good down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big one. I think you articulated that perfectly. It is so closely tied with change management. And there's a lot of that, you know, even with what we're seeing now, whether it's restructures, changes of leadership teams, changes of your managers. I mean, I've worked with quite a few clients just in the last year alone who had like four different managers in like a very short time span. You know, that requires a lot of adaptability, but also communication. Right? Because what can happen in those situations when there is this change happening, you want to make sure that you're still in control of your career and that you're not relying on others to pass that message along for you. So when it comes to, let's say, your goals and what you want to achieve, please do not assume that that last manager is passing on where you're at to the next manager and then the next one. This is for you to really do and take control of. And I've seen that trap happen too much, where we kind of put a lot of onus into our leaders to do that kind of communication. But then you're like, hey, why am I not advancing? I don't understand what is happening here. There wasn't enough of that self-ownership that really needed to happen. One other thing kind of tied closely with that, I would say in terms of soft skill, is really networking and the relationship building side of things. Again, something that we don't really learn coming into the workforce, but is one of the most important things you can do. Like, beyond, yes, okay, we assume you're good at your work. You know what to do. You can deliver on your timelines and deadlines. Okay, that's great. But what's really going to elevate you from a soft skill standpoint in the workplace is your ability to form really great relationships. And I'm not talking about, pardon the language, you know, kiss ass and like, you know, getting very, very much on the side of favoritism. It's not that at all. It's about really building meaningful connections with your peers, with your leaders, with cross departments, because when you do that really well, they are going to be that much more supportive of you. I've lived these examples firsthand, you know, in my corporate career, where I worked very closely, obviously, with a lot of different departments, kind of coming from the marketing side. And one department that I really valued the need of important relationship building was our supply chain department and our operations department, because they were the ones that brought our products to the market, right? They were the ones that would bend over backwards when we were hit against a really difficult timeline. And because, you know, I really leaned into building these intentional relationships that were win-win, right? That's a big part of it. And we talk about emotional intelligence that helps build those win-win relationships. They then go out of their way to support you because they know that you will do the same for them. This is what I mean by building these meaningful relationships where there's trust, there's respect, there's integrity at the foundation of all of it. So for me, that's also very much the top of the list: empathy, communication, relationship building, and of course the adaptability. That's a big part of that entire umbrella.
That relationship piece is so crucial, because if we're staying on the same theme of, say, change, right, this change happening, having people in your corner and advocate for you in that change, you know, can create something out of that for a better opportunity for you, right? It could be a lateral shift into a new department where you're coming from a people lead to an individual contributor or vice versa, because they see your technical skills, your strategic skills, and your management skills, and say, hey, we see you in a bigger role to make impact here. Would you consider that? right? And then as they're doing their research and fact finding about, you know, all the work that you've done, and then they're seeing different departments rave and high five, you know, this potential shift for you, it becomes more evident, like, wow, this is great. You see it as an individual great thing, but two, so the importance of that relationship and networking building inside the workplace is crucial. And a lot of folks, I don't know if we do or we hear it enough. I do hear other folks talk about it, but I think they use networking more as, you know, just how to maybe make a transition. To do just that. But what happens when you're in corporate, you're in, or whatever role you're in, and you want to go up, and they're missing, they think it's just, as long as I perform and over deliver, it's going to happen. No, if you use and leverage the right relationships, and that's strategic too, it's right. It's all about who you know, inside those walls to make those transitions. If again, there's a change happening, or if there's no change happening and it just comes your way, right? Mm-hmm. But having those soft skills and knowing how to communicate, and just share the things that you're doing, because that's always going to come up in a conversation, right? Yeah. Oh, what are you working on now? We're doing XYZ that's impacting your department. You guys are working on this implementation, right? Yeah. So my role in that is to do XYZ. Oh, okay, great. Yeah. We saw your email, you know, we saw your name in a couple of emails, but didn't know exactly where you fell. But yep, that's where I'm at. And so now you may start to be on all these calls with them, and that's elevating your status in the organization. So when you trying to make a shift, again, having those communication, empathy, soft skills to just navigate the walls of corporate, because that's a whole different dynamic, right? Those relationship building skills could work in your favor. And if you're making a transition out as well too, right? Those people can be advocates for you in the next role. You just never know. So the importance of that is so crucial. And it may not be open to you, but you have to make the effort, right? I wouldn't assume that the manager is going to be, or your role may not be a role that's highly visible, but how do you make yourself more visible inside those walls to create impact, create those key relationships? Yeah,
that's so good. You know, you made me think of another problem, another skill I was going to say, which is problem solving, right? That, like, that's a really crucial soft skill in the workplace when you can show that you can, you know, see something hard and push through and help find solutions. That's going to get a lot of good eyes on your radar, right? Like, you never want to be that person that's going to your manager or your leadership team complaining, dumping issues, dumping risks without any attempt at being able to solve that, right? You might not have all the answers, but being able to show that problem-solving mindset of, you know, okay, here's the issue that we're up against right now, and some considerations that I'd like to recommend to get your thoughts on or to get your input on, and here's why I'm leaning towards these particular solutions. Right? It's not necessarily that you have to come up with it. Maybe as you grow more senior, you will be the one that's really expected to come with that solution. But even in the interim, you're facilitating the conversation that needs to happen, right? And so the more that we think from a problem-solving standpoint in terms of soft skill, the more credibility it builds, the more trust in you it builds, the more dependability it builds in you. And it shows that you're not afraid of challenge. You're not afraid of adversity. You're not afraid of things when they go wrong. Like, that's just part of the game. I'm sure everyone listening here has faced some kind of problem at one point, maybe even just today at work, right? Like, I can't tell you the amount of fires that I had to put out over my 13-year career in corporate. But I think what really helped me to stand out and why I love coaching on this with my clients is that the idea of, okay, well, how can you be more problem solution oriented, right? How can you see something and help bring to the other end solutions that are very feasible, that are going to help improve the situation, that are going to help make your boss's job easier too, right? Like, that's a part of it also. If you're that employee who's constantly just dumping like issues and expecting your boss to fix it for you, that's a really easy way to strain that relationship. And so leveraging the soft skill of problem solving can take you really far and will be probably one of the most critical ones alongside communication and empathy as you grow more senior. because you're only going to be more visible towards the biggest challenges of the organization, the biggest opportunity areas of the organization, some of the most difficult decisions you'll have to make as an organization. So the more we build that muscle now, the more prepared you'll be as you grow.
And I want to make a clarification too, right? I don't think you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tiffany, that you go after every project you see in hopes of solving the problem so you can get elevated in.
Really picking the right battles, right? Like that's a big part of problem solving, where you're not going to take on every single issue in the company. That's not your problem, right? You have to pick the right problems that are related to your scope of work, that are related to your mandate, that were related to your department. You could always branch out a little bit more if that's something that really gets you energized, or you are just like a natural problem solver and you see a way of helping a supporting team. Obviously, they're going to appreciate that. And then that builds into the relationship building piece that we talked about earlier. So long as there's kind of an advantage and benefit for you in that direction, it's definitely worth exploring. But yes, you definitely want to pick your battles. And it's more just in our way of working, Orlando. That's more what I mean, right? Like when you're faced with something that's difficult, when you're faced with a challenge, when you're faced with a risk, when you're faced with, you know, a total setback in what you're working on, see it as an opportunity to problem solve. Because inaction is not going to help you. Complaining is not going to help you, and staying at a standstill is not going to help you. What will help you is putting on your problem-solving hat and saying, okay, well, that's clearly not ideal. Let's see what we can do about it, right? And that's going to help move you forward in a way that will get a lot of positive points in your corner.
Right. And that does require, and that's a great point. And it does require that balance, right? That ability to, and self-awareness to know, like, okay, what's currently on my plate that I need to finish before I attack a new project or try to step in to solve it, right? That's where we're going back to the communication piece, communicating with your manager to say, hey, I'm, you know, almost done here. I'll have some time. Does it, you know, would this be okay if I step into this? Because I'm seeing that as a team, we're struggling here. I want to see if I can, you know, come up with a solution or give some more input in this topic as I'm rolling down this other project, right? So
yeah.
I would say definitely that communication piece there. You don't just dive into it without saying, hey, here's where I'm going to spend some of my time. Because you don't want to drop the ball on one thing and then the management is like, hey, you know, this is happening. Because trust me, we've all been through that, where we thought we were going to be Superman or Superwoman and like, this is where I'm going to jump in and support. And it's like, well, we didn't necessarily need you at this particular time because we needed you 100% focused on that. And, you know, you're kind of letting one side down. I see the effort. I see the intent. I know you want to support.
Yeah.
But it's almost doing a disservice if you're letting one side drop to support another without clearly communicating and saying,
yeah.
Because I think we had an episode where it's about that balance of shift where you're getting too much work and you need to say, okay, if this what's, you know, if you want me to take on this project, let's walk through the priorities and make sure you understand by me taking on this, I need to shift this off my plate. But
yeah.
It's a different conversation when you're initiating to say, hey, I'm going to throw my hat into this next project because I see I can add some value. And it's just, you know, just an open conversation to have that balance because that is a clear, I think, perspective too that management sees and saying, hey, they're able to time manage all this stuff and clearly see where they can input and willing to do so. It may force you to work a couple more hours past normal time to get it done. But if you're initiating that and you're saying, hey, I'm going to do this so we can get it over the finish line, that's great. I think that'll put a massive feather in your cap with the team. But be smart. Just like you said, Tiffany, be smart to where they're not tapping you 5 or 6 times. Now, hey, can you do this? You do it. You're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to have some balance here where I still have my normal functions that I need to execute.
Yeah.
Plus anything I think I can support. So there is that balancing act that we need to leverage too.
Yeah. I love that. I would say another one that's coming to mind in terms of soft skill is decision-making ability.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really important one that obviously is integral at any workplace, but being able to make decisions. And I find this one's very closely tied with like strategic thinking as well, critical thinking in terms of soft skill ability. Because in order to be an effective decision maker, you also need to be able to think a little bit more critically, to be able to see things from different angles that will allow you to make as informed decisions as possible. But I'd say the other element of decision-making effectiveness is being able to make decisions even sometimes without that much information, just from kind of experience and trusting in your path that you've had or the exposure that you've seen or past examples, to almost make this kind of like hypothesis driven type of decision making, right? It doesn't have to be the end decision, but at least in a hypothesis-based decision that if we are to take this route, here's likely what will happen. And it's likely worth taking that route versus this route given the information that's at hand today, right? So it really helps elevate you. And again, as we're thinking of, you know, growing in our careers, these are the types of skills that hold a lot of weight the more senior you get, because you're going to be the one that ultimately gets to a point where the decision ends at you, the buck ends at you. So not being afraid to make those decisions, or, you know, even if you're like, well, my manager is ultimately the one that's going to make the decision. Yeah, maybe, but you can still come to them with conviction in what decision you really believe is best and why, and back that up with the right facts and data to support you in that, right? The more fact-based we are, the more data-driven we are, the easier it's going to be to get others to align with us in the decision-making that we're doing. So that I think comes a lot with like building confidence in our role too, right? Of just having seen things and experienced things and knowing that, hey, I actually am in a position where I can make that call. I can make that decision. And it does feel very empowering when you start leaning into that a lot more.
Yeah, I love that. You said it earlier in what you were saying is the indecision too, right? The indecision is a decision that can have a huge impact.
Yeah.
But having the confidence, and that comes to, you know, I don't want to go off topic, but the culture and the environment that's being built, right, from that leadership,
yeah,
saying, hey, everyone has a voice at the table. So you can have that confidence to say, yes, I'm going to make a decision. It may not be the right decision, but something in what you said could impact the final decision of what your management is looking for, because they may miss something and you brought it up and they're like, oh, wow, you know what? Great call out. Didn't see that. Let me shift one degree left because this is the direction we need to go. And your small input, regardless of what you think it may or may not do, I think it still needs to be brought to the table so it's heard. At least that is heard, and it keeps the wheels thinking strategically as a team to say, okay, because that's what the management is looking for too, right? They're looking for their team to be self-starters, self-strategic thinkers, self-critical thinkers to bring solutions to the table. So they're not mentally drained and thinking, hey, I'm doing all of it and my team is not. So been through that, understand that space on both sides of the fence. So it's definitely building that environment and your team culture to say, hey, guys, regardless of what you say, please bring it to me so we can, you know, we can whiteboard it, we can table it, you know, we can park it and then dive deep on each topic because I need input from every area. So I'm not a master in your lane. I'm not a master in your lane. So I need your input to flood to impact and ultimately formulate the full decision in a direction where you go. So, and sometimes that's not afforded just because it's, you know, it's coming from top down and this is direction, but still explaining the why behind it to get their buy-in. But when it's a project that maybe you guys are getting off the ground as a team, something you implemented in the organization, right? Be someone who's not afraid to say, you know, what you think and feel about it too, because you just never know what direction that may take. It can elevate, it can remove something that could have impacted it negatively if you went the same course. If you said nothing and you knew there was an issue and you chose to say nothing, right? That indecision can make an impact. You'd be like, I knew that was going to happen. But why didn't you say anything?
Right? Yeah.
So it's better to
totally
speak up, walk it through, talk it through. And then if it, you know, whatever the outcome may be, at least you know you had a voice in your team collectively. You're all saying, okay, at least we have a voice at the table to drive this initiative or whatever the impact is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. Another one I'd say too is definitely leadership. You know, that's a very important soft skill. And I want to be clear, like you can demonstrate leadership at any stage of your career. It doesn't require a title or, you know, a fancy big office. Like, it's really in how you choose to show up, how you go about your work, how you influence and inspire others around you. So this can start really at any point. And the more that we recognize that, the better we're going to also be viewed as a key talent that can continue to grow in an organization. So leaning into that leadership, kind of deciding what kind of leader do you want to be? You're going to have a lot of different types of bosses along the way and management teams along the way, but really doing that kind of self-reflection of, you know, what's important for me as a leader? What do I look for in my leaders? And what do I want to also emulate as a leader? And how can I go about in my day-to-day that really does inspire and empower those around me? I get a lot of these questions with my clients too, when they're not necessarily managing people, but they're working with other teams and they need to influence other teams to do what they need. Like, leadership is a key area and soft skill that they really lean into here, right? Because you need to get others to follow the vision that you have, to be accountable to what they're supposed to do, to meet the deadlines that you need them to, but they're not reporting into you. So how do you do that? A lot of what we've talked about earlier today, and also really instilling leadership that inspires them to be part of what you're building, right? So if that pairs very closely with communication and how you articulate that strategic thinking, right? The bit of that strategic vision, where are you going with this? Helping them through empathy and emotional intelligence see their value in being part of this with you. What about their level of expertise? What about their area of work that makes this integral in terms of total outcome? That's going to help them feel even more attached to what you're building together. So I would say that's kind of one last one I really wanted to hone in on that's very important. The more that we start thinking about our work and how we show up in that way.
Yeah, I love that. So what popped in my mind when you said that, Tiffany, is specifically someone like in an HRS role and they're supporting the implementation of a new software, right? They're leading that project. They can be an individual contributor, but they're touching so many people across the board, accounting, finance, HR, talent, IT, et cetera. And so they're leading the project, and right, your project management skills kick in. But you're leading, you're not a jack of all trades in all these spaces, but you're a master of the implementation piece. So you know how to direct and guide different department members and saying, hey, here's what I'll need from you to complete this task so we can move on to the next department, right? So there's a great form of leadership in that. And you're not leading, you don't have a team. You can just be that master of that implementation, but lead the entire project. And indirectly, you're leading the teams too to make sure they're getting all the data and information they need, how to do it, how to present it, so you can put that all together. And that's a great, great skill set. Wish I had that skill set on the technical side.
Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal for individuals like that when it comes to the leadership skills. And then that also falls into, as we close out here, is influence, right? Having that influence ties into the leadership too, to impact different people, shift the needle, move the needle, and look at different perspectives, like you said earlier, about strategic and critical thinking.
Totally.
The leadership skills, you can have no team, be in a cube to the side, but everyone comes to you and like, hey, this person knows how to do X.
Yeah,
they're a Smead, right? They're someone. They're a Smead because they seem to have the global view or big picture view in how to do this. Why? Yeah. Because they've done it before. So yeah, great point there on the leadership.
Yeah, of course. No, I think it's so important. And the more that we really showcase that from an earlier phase and continue to build and leverage the combination of soft skills we talked about today, it can be really, like I said at the very beginning, like this is what's going to set you apart. The hard skills, the technical skills, those are kind of table stakes, right? Like that's expected. Like, yeah, I should hope that we're good at the work that we do. I should hope that we know how to deliver in the function that we take on. But the soft skills is where there's just such a variation of excellence and performance. So when you really lean into that and prioritize that, this is where I've seen, you know, in coaching high achievers where you can just take off. Absolutely.
Awesome. Because you'll see leaders who excel into executive roles, right? They're great people leaders, team builders. And so at that level, they move a little further away from the technical side. They have a good understanding still because they need to know it, but their hyper or their superpower is the soft skills, right?
Absolutely.
Folks together, getting them to buy in, getting that commodity and that culture of, hey, we're going to impact this, we're going to complete this, et cetera, and just really be like the cheerleader for their team. So those are the skills that I think elevate folks more so on versus the hard skills for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. We had time. We're always like right on time, the 45-minute mark. Yeah, no, I love this topic. I could talk about it for hours on end, but I think we're good if we cap it here.
Any final words for the folks you like to share?
Oh, just don't forget the importance of what we're talking about today. You know, I'll leave you with this, that more often than not, when you are facing some kind of challenge or difficulty or frustration in your workplace, it can be solved with effective soft skills. I know it doesn't always seem so obvious when we're in the thick of it, but having coached, you know, over 1,000 clients on soft skills and leveling up in the workplace and taking control of their career, I can tell you, and having lived it myself and with my teams, soft skills are magic. When fueled right, they are magic in your career. And leaning into this, doubling down on that is going to be a huge differentiating factor for you. So yeah, I'll leave you with that. Know that there's always a solution. You just need to know how to navigate that. And once you do, that's the real unlock.
Awesome. We're going to leave it there, folks. We appreciate you tuning in. Share, subscribe, support, follow Tiffany, follow myself. We will see you next time for another episode of Career Talks, Real Talk. We'll see you next time, folks.
Bye.